Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Oh, thank you. We did enjoy ourselves at Castle Farms the other day, and if you go up there, you need to have a tour guide, and because they'll tell you everything about that place that is not obvious. And our tour guide, she was with us for about 3 hours, I guess it was Betsy, and a delightful lady, and she was a retired fifth grade teacher. And, you know, I was enjoying myself. I can't think of a better way to enjoy myself than it's a beautiful day and to be with my wife and to be with a group from the church. And, you know, we were just having a good time. And, you know, there's still a lot of teacher in me, and I would find things. I'm showing it to the group, and Betsy ended up tolerating me until she had had enough when she turned to me in front of the group and said, "Sit down." You know what I did? I sat down. Yes, ma'am. But it was all, it was good-natured fun, and I gave her a hug when we left and told her I really appreciated her insight, and she really seemed to have a real passion and appreciation for the place. We're working through this summer the fruit of the Spirit, and today in our journey through the fruit of the Spirit.
Need you put that on.
Wrong one?
It's going to be a distraction the whole service.
Okay.
We don't.
Y'all talk, make small talk, whatever.
So sorry about that.
We good to go? All righty, thank you. The fruit of the Spirit. Now I got to let him hurry up and get back up there because he's going to change the slide for me. We have some folks there. Pray, we've got some folks that are sick. The Witts, there's sickness in their family. Poor Tanya, what is it? Pneumonia she's got? And ear infection. Poor lady. In fact, Sandy Handrich is not here right now. She's on her way to Grayling to pick up Tanya's medication that she can only get in Grayling. I sure appreciate Sandy willing to run over there. She hated to miss church, but it was important for Tanya to get this medication as soon as possible. But, you know, even in sickness and even in troubled times, the neat thing about joy is, when we're talking about spiritual joy, is you can have it. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have, if you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, you have access to this joy. Now, it requires some nourishing, as you're going to see. You can prevent it from developing and blessing you as it should. But if you are aware of it and you nourish it, yes, even in troubled times, you can have joy. We're looking in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then the second one, joy. So today we're going to focus on the second fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And I've got good news for you this morning. I was already alluding to it. The good news is, I don't care what you're going through right now, no matter how difficult or challenging, you can have this spiritual joy. You need this spiritual joy. That's the good news. Spiritual joy first is available to all believers. Now, if you're an unbeliever, if you're not a Christian, this is not available to you until you become a Christian. But if you are a Christian, it is not available to certain Christians under certain conditions. It's available to all believers. Spiritual joy, secondly, is key to sustaining you even through difficult times. I've seen people in this church in my 28 years of pastoring here go through difficult times, and they didn't fall apart. They didn't lose it. And one of the primary reasons they didn't was deep down inside them, in spite of the circumstances, they possessed and understood this spiritual joy. And we also understand that spiritual joy, though, must be nourished. It is a fruit of the Spirit. When you think about growing fruit, you have to, you know, you have to make sure it's got sunshine. You got to make sure it's got water. You got to make sure it's in the proper soil and fertilized properly. So for you to grow literal fruit, you've got to nourish it. For you to grow spiritual fruit, you have to nourish it as well. But the good news is, regardless of what you're going through, you can have, you can develop this fruit of the Spirit that we call joy. And there's no negative side effects with this spiritual joy. Now, there's some bad news, though, for people who aren't saved, or people who are saved but they are unaware of spiritual joy, or perhaps they're aware of it but they're just a negative individual, one of these naysayers. You know, one of these woe is me, one of these people filled with self-pity. You can be a Christian and have the ability to possess this spiritual joy, but for whatever reason you don't. Now, those people, whether you're here this morning and you're lost, or whether you're here this morning and you're saved, but you just kind of, you're just a negative Nelly. You know, woe is me, and sometimes you even like the attention of woe is me. You put yourself at risk. You put yourself at great risk. Am I hearing that fan click up there? Can somebody address that? Turn it up, turn it down, turn it off, or whatever. Bad news is, if you are an unsaved person or a saved person that's not consciously aware of your spiritual joy, you are at risk. And you're going through some things right now that are debilitating that you don't have to go through. For example, people who lack spiritual joy are prone to anxiety, fear, anger, depression, or self-pity, or the list can go on. If you don't understand and appreciate and nourish the spiritual joy that's available to you, you are prone to all of those things. And if you are exhibiting any of those things on a regular basis, it could be because you are lacking this spiritual joy. You're at risk also because people who lack spiritual joy are often try to compensate with an emphasis on superficial happiness through power or popularity or things. And how often do we hear of rich and famous people, you know, leading miserable lives? Becoming addicts of various sorts. They have all the money in the world. They have all the toys in the world. They have various homes, you know, in from, you know, Colorado to Florida and what have you. And many of them even take their lives. Many of them known for their depression, which tells you that's not where you're going to find joy. I mean, if that proves anything, it proves that those things will not give you joy, even though they're looking for it, but in the wrong places. And then people who lack spiritual joy often turn to drugs or alcohol or tobacco or marijuana or things like that when facing the challenges and disappointments of life. When you lack spiritual joy, you put yourself at an unnecessary risk. The good news is you can have spiritual joy. And there are many negative side effects for those who try to get through life without this spiritual joy. Sometimes it makes me mad. Sometimes it humors me how lost people make fun of us Christians. Particularly in the sense that they say we use Christ as a crutch. How many times am I watching some of these house hunter shows and what have you, and almost every time they're talking about, on a house hunter show, about alcohol? Oh, this would be a good place to have a few drinks. Oh, look, this place has a wine cellar. This place has that. We need a crutch? Really? The hypocrisy of you. The hypocrisy of you. I mean, you can't even enjoy a wedding without getting drunk. You know, I mean, who needs a crutch? No, and why do we not need crutches? Because we have Christ. And we have that spiritual joy. So I want you to see this morning, and I spell it out for you. I wrote it out for you. We've got a lot of quotes this morning because I want to stay focused. This is so important. As your pastor, it gives me great joy to know that you have spiritual joy. And it burdens me when I see any of my flock suffering anxiety and fear and are overwhelmed by things and just being so down and negative. I want today to be a change for you. I want you to choose joy this morning. And you might not be able to fix what's been going on in your life for years overnight, but I want you to get on the path to fixing it this morning. Here it is. I want you to be aware of the vulnerability you're under if you fail to understand the presence and the value of spiritual joy. And I want you to understand and appreciate what true spiritual joy is and how it can be of great benefit and value to you. So, what spiritual joy is? Let's look at what spiritual joy is. And we begin by looking at what it's not. Okay, to understand what it is, you have to first of all understand what it's not. It is not, we're not talking about happiness this morning. Now, there's a place for happiness in our lives. I like being happy. Happiness is the feeling that comes with experiencing good and positive happenstance or happenings. Okay? Happiness, as we're defining it this morning, it depends on good things happening. I mean, you get a big pay raise, that's something to be happy about. Lord bless you. Your team wins the championship. You're happy about that. That's a good thing. You're in the middle of a wonderful vacation, and on that vacation, you're experiencing all sorts of happiness. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. Because the problem with happiness is, and there's nothing wrong with being happy, but the problem with happiness in its comparison to joy is that happiness, based on circumstances, can come and go. The problem is happiness can come and go at a great price. Example of what I'm talking about, some people like going to a casino. And you might find that makes you happy for a little while until you realize you blew money that you really didn't have. It came at a great price. And the problem is happiness can come with regrets. You do something that made you happy for a time, and then later on you realize it was one of the dumbest things you ever did. So happiness is the feeling that comes with experiencing good and positive happenings. We're not talking about this morning. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something much more significant, much more meaningful. So what is joy? Spiritual joy is an ever-abiding peace and pleasant spirit that is grounded in your faith in a loving and gracious God who comforts your soul regardless of the circumstances. It takes a little spiritual maturity to be able to understand what you just heard or read. It takes some spiritual depth to comprehend that. Shallow individuals can really own, and I don't mean that to be demeaning. Maybe I could use a better word, but for lack of a better word, people that are shallow, certainly spiritually, their whole emphasis is on happiness and tracing down happiness. And we just listed the problems with that. It can be costly. There's all sort of issues with pursuing happiness as your primary goal. No, your primary goal should be something much more significant and much more profound. It's a spiritual joy. And if you have any spiritual maturity about you, your mind is going right now. And you're realizing, you know, I really hadn't thought about that. Most of my life is just focused on trying to be happy. And you mean there's something more significant than that? Something more meaningful? Something more helpful? Yes, it's joy. The good news is, biblical joy can nourish you daily. good news is biblical joy can sustain you through the tough times. And in the tough times, you can still have that biblical joy. Good news is biblical joy can keep you from the temptations to sin. When you have this biblical joy, it is a joy that satisfies. And you're not like the multi-billionaires that buy the yacht and buy the ski chalet in Vail, Colorado, and are still miserable. No, you're going to be compared to the grandma that's sitting on the front porch of her simple frame house and who has complete contentment and is at peace. Because deep in her soul, she has what those other people don't. She has a deep, abiding, spiritual joy. I said I got a bunch of quotes for you this morning. This is a great one. Joy is distinctively a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its springs deep down inside. And that spring never runs dry no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. So if you don't know Jesus, or if you are a born-again Christian, but you are estranged from Jesus because of some rebellion in your life, or a bad attitude in your life, or some maybe secret sin in your life, you're not going to know joy because joy comes from Him and a relationship with Him, as you will see. And that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. He had joy singing its music within, even under the shadow of the cross. The joy that Jesus knew was a joy that transcended good times and bad in His life. And it's available to all of His children. He wants us to experience that same joy. And that joy is not avoiding every problem in life. We're going to go through problems. You're going to have people that are near to you that are going to get sick. But you can still have that joy that we're talking about. We're not talking about a knee-slapping laughter, but we're just talking about a joy that abides within, knowing that God's in control and everything's going to be okay. Even if you lose that person that you love and value so much. Consider for a moment this morning where true joy cannot be found. And we're going to focus on this just for a second because so many people are out there looking for it. So many people are out there beating the bushes, trying to be happy, trying to find joy. Well, we can go out into the laboratory of life, that's what I call it when you go outside these doors here, and just look around. And we can go back in history, some notable people in history who were looking for joy and should have had it by man's standards, but missed it completely. You're not going to find joy in unbelief. Voltaire, he was a French writer and philosopher, was an infidel of the most pronounced type. And he wrote before the end of his life, "I wish I had never been born." Voltaire, a famous Frenchman that people still talk about to this day, you would have thought he would have had joy. Not a man that says, "I never wish I had been born." He was an unbeliever. And some people think, well, church is too burdensome. No, I don't need that. I'm not going to find joy there. Well, you can go the route of Voltaire if you want to. And you can get the same results that he had. It's not in pleasure. Lord Byron, English poet, lived a life of pleasure. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." You're not going to find joy in stuff. You're not going to find joy in things. You're not going to find joy in events. It's not going to be found in money. I'd never heard of Jay Gould, but he was a railroad developer, a millionaire. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." You're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield, he was a British prime minister, enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." There may be some truth to that last phrase, old age is a regret, but the rest isn't true. People are searching for joy. And apart from Jesus, they're never going to find it. And lastly, not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." You've heard of fake news. Well, there is fake joy. Fake joy is the most egregious forgery of true joy. Fake joy is the joy people take in sin, the bait on the hook of temptation. It is only sinful, lustful desire parading as joy, causing momentary delight, even as it poisons your soul. So whether you're saved or whether you're lost, nobody is looking for misery. Nobody's looking for anxiety. They are looking for joy. But try to find it outside of Jesus. It is pointless. It is fruitless. And you will become a person of greater wisdom if you come to that realization today and make Christ your focus in life. Make His church, His people, His will, service to Him, dedication to Him. That is where you will find joy. The people that I know that are serving the Lord in gladness are not having to turn to the bottle. They're not having to find excitement in something illicit. These are people that can go home and lay their head on their pillow at night and sleep like a baby. And that's available to you. Don't be misguided. Don't be misled by what we call fake joy. There's so many benefits of spiritual joy. We want to look at that. Let's consider for a moment the benefits of spiritual joy. These quotes in this segment right here are all from the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. That is the church that Charles Spurgeon, many of you know about Charles Spurgeon, one of the most well-known preachers. He was a Baptist preacher, conservative guy, back in London in the late 1800s. But these are not quotes from him. This is one of his successors. Dr. Peter Masters is the pastor at Metropolitan Tabernacle today in London. And he had some very interesting things to say, some very encouraging things to say about joy. Listen to this. A number of quotes, all of these are from Dr. Peter Masters, as we consider the benefits of spiritual joy. You know, I'm not trying to get you to walk down a path that you're going to be disappointed in. I'm encouraging you this morning as pastor of this church to walk down a path that is going to benefit you. And I realize you're having to deal with your flesh, which is attracted to sin, as mine is. And I realize there's a culture around you that's throwing everything in your way to keep you from going down the path of joy. So I'm fighting for you this morning. So I thought it would be good to put a segment in here. And I read this from Peter Masters. And I said, all right, he's got it. I can't say it any better than him. I'll just let him say it. He said, God is not honored by unhappy Christians. Of course, there are times when there are setbacks in our spiritual warfare or our labors for the Lord must be. But we must not allow our underlying trust in the Lord, our calm, and our thankfulness for spiritual blessings to be swept away by such things. And then he talks about spiritual joy. He says he gets it. He understands, yeah, we're all going to go through moments in life that are sad. And I'm not saying you'll never be sad. But you can be sad, but deep down in your core, I mean, you're not overwhelmed with the sadness. You're dealing with it. Why? You have the joy of the Lord. You may be going through some challenges right now with a wayward child. And of course you're going to have concern about that wayward child. But you're not going to be in despair over that wayward child. Why? What's going to see you through? What's going to keep you on course? It's that inner core of joy. Listen to what he says. Among the achievements of spiritual joy is its strengthening power. When you have this spiritual joy, when you're aware of it, and when you nourish it on purpose, you think about it not just now, but tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. When the devil attacks and the things are going against us, spiritual joy helps us through and gains for us a strength beyond our own. Well said, Dr. Masters. Another achievement of joy is that it makes us more useful to God. The witness of a rejoicing person is far more effective than the witness of someone with a heavy spirit. How is your spirit? We are called to be witnesses. I'm much more likely to inquire about a person that has joy in their heart, even though they're going through some trials. That's going to get my attention. Better than someone who should have joy, but they're just more like, who is it, Eeyore? Now I'm talking your language. A downcast Christian is also unlikely to have much room in his heart for the souls of others. Listen to this. This caught me. Because gloom turns us in upon ourselves. Isn't that true? Think about the gloomy, negative Nancys you know. And it's all about them. Constantly. Always. I mean, yeah, any one of us can go through a time of sadness. That is to be expected. Any one of us can go through a time of concern. But I'm talking about the person that is pretty much day in and day out just wallows in self-pity. The cup is always half empty and getting emptier by the moment in their estimation. A downcast Christian is also unlikely to have much room in his heart for souls of others, which we're supposed to have. Because gloom turns us in upon ourselves. And people that are turned in upon themselves, I've been at this for 44 years in ministry. And the most miserable people I know, bar none, I can say it with complete confidence, are people that are just totally inward focused. And they will make excuses. Well, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what I've been through. Okay, I know a lot of other people that have been through that or worse, and they're not turned in upon themselves. They've looked to Christ and they have found victory. The good news is you can too. And then Peter Master says, you are much less likely to be tempted to great covetousness if you are a satisfied, rejoicing person. And he says, the Christian who loses little by little grateful rejoicing in Christ must increasingly make up for lost joy with material things. Perhaps more possessions or a bigger home and a better car. The road to covetousness begins where the path of joy becomes covered with weeds. In other words, Dr. Masters is laying out the case that there are huge benefits for you appreciating spiritual joy and nourishing that spiritual joy, which leads us to our last point, how to nurture this biblical or spiritual joy. Jesus addressed that for us, thankfully, because it is a fair question. If I have made the case for you that living without joy is dangerous and living with spiritual joy is in your best interest and others' best interest, if I can make that case for you from Scripture, as I think I have, then I need to make the case for you from Scripture on how you can achieve it. Jesus talked about it. John 15:10. He's talking to his apostles and he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, because he wants you to have joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He is addressing the apostles just prior to his own crucifixion. The apostles are confused. They are anxious. They're not understanding what he's really talking about. They know that trouble lies ahead. And as they are about to face trouble, what is the Lord talking to them about? He explains to them how they can have joy. And he instructs them to do two things. I love this. That the Lord cared enough about those men that he told them, you need to have my joy. And then he tells them, now this is how you do it. And it's pretty simple. And even though it was said about 2,000 years ago, it was recorded. And not only was it recorded, it has been preserved for 2,000 years because you and I need it as much as they needed it then. Because you and I face a day and age when we don't really know where everything's going. And that's with our world in general, and a lot of us in our own personal lives, we're facing challenges. So he instructs them to do two things. That same passage, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. He talks about keeping his commandments, number one. If you want to experience the joy of Jesus in your life, you must keep his commandments. Now, in order to keep his commandments, you must first know his commandments. And if you're not going to church when the doors are open, if you're not reading your Bible personally every day, no way you're going to know his commandments. Therefore, you can't keep them. Therefore, you won't experience joy. Have at it. That's the life you choose. Just be prepared for the consequences. You have been warned from this pulpit. You need to keep his commandments. And then number two, to abide in his love. Keep my commandments. Several quotes about this. Maybe you've always associated obedience with oppression. You've thought that obedience means a loss of freedom and fun. That's the devil's lie. Is it not, folks? Obedience from the heart to our gracious God results in great joy. If you think it's too hard to be a Christian, too difficult to be a Christian, my friend, you are believing a lie. There are millions of people in this country right now and millions more around the world that are committed to God's commandments. And while none of us are perfect and none of us hit them all the time exactly as we should, we are nonetheless where we land is our desire to obey his commandments. And it's not burdensome. Oh, it can be challenging at times because we're weak, we're frail, we're human. But it's worth the battle. It's worth the effort. It's worth the commitment. It is far more dangerous to think, oh, it's just too hard. I'm going to call the shots myself. I don't like being told what to do by God, the pastor, the church, or anybody else. Another quote, when we are living in disobedience to Christ, our joy in him will be minimal or non-existent. Depending on the depth and duration of the disobedience, that's true. You might say our greatest enjoyment of Christ can be enjoyed only in a robust state of obedience. Just a practical example. You go out and sin on a Saturday night, and let's say you're into something bad on Saturday night. You're out late, and who knows what it is. You know, just think of your biggest temptation, and you take advantage of it. Last thing you're going to do is enjoy Sunday morning church. Am I right? So that's coming between you and God. That's why he said, no, you got to be obedient. If on Saturday night you're laying out your clothes for Sunday morning and you're just enjoying your family, enjoying your spouse, you're going to come to church, you're going to be happy. You're going to be glad to be there. It's not going to be burdensome, and you're not going to be trying to pick things apart. You're going to be thankful because you're in obedience. And when you're in obedience, you have joy. And one other quote concerning keeping his commandments is a key to joy. No one is more miserable than a Christian. This is a fabulous quote. And I think this describes people, too many people today. No one is more miserable than the Christian who for a time hedges in his obedience. And we got tons of them. He does not love sin enough to enjoy its pleasures and does not love Christ enough to relish holiness. That probably describes some people in this room. I have nobody in mind. But just in a group this size, I guarantee you there's people in this room that love to dally with things that are preached against from the Word of God. But you're just going to do it. But you really can't enjoy it. Because deep down in your heart, you know what the preacher said about it was true. But yet you come to church and you can't enjoy that either. That's a sad state of affairs right there. That's a fabulous quote. He does not love sin enough to enjoy its pleasures and does not love Christ enough to relish his holiness. So what do you do? Sell out to Christ and experience his joy, true joy, real joy, joy that satisfies. So you want to have joy. Jesus connected it to obedience. And when I'm up in this pulpit saying you need to do this and you shouldn't do that, I just want you to be obedient. Not to me. I mean, not even my wife is obedient to me. So I don't expect you to be obedient to me, but I am pushing for you to be obedient to God. So key number one is obedience. Quickly, I got to finish. Then the second key is abide in his love. You got to be obedient. You have to abide in his love. Some quotes about that. What does that mean? To abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant close communion with him. To always be leaning on him, resting on him, pouring out our hearts to him, and using him as our fountain of life and strength, as our chief companion and best friend. If you want to experience spiritual joy, you've got to keep his commandments. You've got to abide in his love. Listen to this. This abiding relationship is natural to the branch and the vine, but it must be cultivated in the Christian life. You've got to work at it. It's not automatic. Abiding in Christ demands worship, meditation on God's word, prayer, sacrifice, and service. But what a joyful experience it is. Once you have begun to cultivate this deeper communion with Christ, you have no desire to return to the shallow life of the careless Christian. I don't want you to be a careless Christian. I want you to be a committed Christian. Is it hard? Yeah, it can be hard at times. But is it worth it? Absolutely. Is it hard to climb to the top of Mount Everest? Apparently, it's one of the hardest things in the world. But why do so many people do it? They'll tell you, it's worth it. The experience and what you get to see up there. And then lastly, it is if he had said, think as I think, feel as I feel, will as I will, choose as I choose, and let my views of all objects and all events be yours because they are mine. Let my feelings, my volitions, my choices all be yours, and let them be yours because they are mine. That's what it means to abide in Christ. You are very vulnerable if you are not aware of and are nourishing the joy of the Lord in your spirit. You are very blessed. You have a peace. You have a purpose in life that you would not exist, but because that would not exist other than the fact that you have that joy in your heart. And you realize, like all fruit, it has to be nourished. And the way you nourish, according to Jesus himself, the fruit of joy in your life is through obedience. You might have to change some things. That's okay. It'll be far better what you get than what you have. And you'll need to abide in him. You need to start coming to church faithfully. You need to be. We're going to meet again Wednesday night. That's an opportunity for you to abide in him. Okay? And your personal Bible study every day, that you're abiding in him. And then we conclude. There is no pure and lasting joy apart from Jesus. Every other joy is false, empty, and transient. Look, the rich and the famous tell you that. They tell you that. Every other joy is false, empty, and transient, unworthy of man as an immortal being. Boy, that's a great quote there too. Unworthy, you are an immortal being. You're not a tree. You're not a cat. You're not an animal. You are an immortal being. You shouldn't be finding your happiness, you know, grazing on the weeds of and the temptations of this life. You should have enough sense to know that the happiness, the joy that we're talking about, has to be found in Christ. Transient, unworthy of man as an immortal being, and will end in sorrow. And union with him alone is their real joy. We'll conclude with John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, the Lord modeled it for us. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Do some of you need to change some things? That's why you come to church, to right what's wrong. It's one of the reasons, anyway. Are you committed to total, complete obedience? And are you striving to abide in his love? You're reading your Bible, you're in church. I want you to have that joy. Yes, we're all going to lose loved ones and go through a period of sadness and loss. We're all going to have people disappoint us, and in some cases, people hurt us. Sometimes we're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to do something dumb. But when you have that deep joy that only Christ can give, not only will you survive, but you will prevail, and you will not hurt yourself in the process by turning to something that isn't going to make a difference. You have Christ. I have seen some people in this church go through loss of a loved one, go through illness, go through a wayward son or daughter that's breaking their heart, and yet they're in church, they're serving, they're praying, they're doing, they're positive, their life matters, because what sustains them? Not happiness. That can come and go. It's true joy that I pray every one of us will appreciate and nourish. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Taking a little longer than what I normally want to take on a Sunday morning with a meal coming up shortly, but nonetheless, this is so important. Because this is one of the keys to you not faltering. This is one of the keys for you having a good testimony even when you're going through a bad time. You can have this joy. You can't ignore it and have it. You have to understand it, appreciate it, and nourish it. And maybe this morning you need to ask God to forgive you. You've been critical of the preaching. You've been critical of the word. You have tried to come up with all kind of excuses. You, in a way, want to believe the world when the world says, well, that book is just, you know, made up by men and it doesn't really matter, and you can kind of pick and choose what you want to believe and not believe. You know, if that's the spirit you have, I guarantee you don't have joy. I want you to have joy. A deep and abiding joy. And maybe you need to ask God's forgiveness for some attitudinal problems or even some actions and make things right with him this morning. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. Before you can have that joy, you must have him. And if you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require a little bit of courage. And that's to step out of your seat, make your way to the front here. I'll meet you here. And we'll put you with someone who will take you aside to a